Even in post-Stalin times, the regime punished those who threatened or disagreed with it, so dissidents were fired, jailed, expelled, confined to psychiatric wards, and harassed by the KGB. That's all true. I read my Solzhenitsyn. But what does it have to do with Putin? The Russians don't do that anymore. The article goes on to say, Russia's opposition today also fights an asymmetric battle. Its leaders face criminal cases and regular arrests. Thugs harass them at events, and officials drown them in red tape. I said, really? Now let's look at America. Let's see what the opposition to Obama faces. Let's see. Do the opponents of Obama face criminal cases? Oh, yeah. How about that bakery case? How about all of the people who were punished by the illegal, illegitimate, fascistic IRS or EPA? Then the article says that in Russia, thugs harass opposition leaders at events. Are you telling me that conservatives are not harassed at every event by government thugs or by thugs in America who are working for Black Lives Matter, the National Action Network under Al Sharpton, or Jesse Jackson's thugs? Are you telling me that they're not thugs who are fundamentally working with and for the government? The article finishes by saying, and officials drown their opponents in red tape. Oh, really? The IRS and the EPA don't do that in our country? Okay, let's go down the list. This is a very important thing for you to understand. NBC, in its attempt to continue to smear Putin, tries to demonstrate that Russia is like the Soviet Union. But the network can't do it. Moreover, everything it says about Russia actually applies to America under Obama. I'll include another one. Media control. Soviet media broadcast only what officials wanted it to, and access to foreign media was banned. In the 2000s, one of Putin's first moves was to bring back under state control the leading television channels, Russia's main source of information. They have since turned into pro-government vehicles. I'm going to ask you straight out. Are you telling me that our liberal media is not exactly like state-controlled media? Tell me how they differ. Tell me they're not pro-government vehicles. Then NBC goes on and undermines its own argument when it says, nevertheless, Russia has many independent small media outlets that offer alternative points of view. Now, because of the internet, cable, and the accessibility of international print media, Russians can get their hands on a wide variety of organizations. So what's the point? There is no overt media control as there was in the Soviet Union. Now, we get down to the meat of what they're really getting to here. Go to the bottom of this hit piece and you'll find the mother of all lies. Homophobia. In Soviet times, sodomy was punished with up to 5 years in prison. In Putin's Russia, promotion of homosexuality to minors carries fines and arrests, and public displays of same-sex affection or transgender behavior can result in public abuse. Now the article contradicts itself. But homosexuality is not a crime anymore, even if some people are intolerant of it and public figures often speak out against it. Ladies and gentlemen, I rest my case. The fact of the matter is that you know, and I know, there are no dangers for people of different sexual orientations in Russia. You know that as well as I. But you also know that there's a war against Putin for a number of reasons. And one of the reasons is that he's doing the one thing the Obama administration can't stand at home and abroad. He's winning. Chapter 3. Our Internal Enemies. Obama is invading his own nation. The people in this country have followed the leader, only it's no children's game. He's leading us right off a cliff. Make no mistake, this leader is extremely powerful. His will is one of the most powerful I've seen in my lifetime. Barack Hussein Obama, a president who was never touched personally by oppression, has one of the strongest wills I've ever seen, similar to those of other very dangerous leaders. Look at Germany, at Belgium, at America, at the guilt-edged humanitarian rush to bring in Syrian Muslims and Bosnian Muslims. No one knows who they are or where they're really coming from. 90% of them are men without women and children. Of course, the news media are modifying that reality to suit their liberal agenda. They are showing us pictures of older men, frightened women, and hungry children. But we all know that the influx to Europe is 85 to 90% single men of military age. I had a thought about Angela Merkel, the German dark angel who is ushering in a new dark ages. I thought about her and a vision came to me. Maybe it's a nightmare. It's tough to tell them apart these days. Hitler invaded other countries to take their territory, to dominate other countries with Germanic people and with the crazed mentality of the Nazi philosophy. In a perverse left-wing repudiation of that, Merkel is invading her own country. But don't be fooled. It's still fascism, the ugly suppression of criticism and opposition by a dictator. Obama is doing the exact same thing. Obama is invading his own country. He's destroying it from within, like a worm in an apple, or the communist mayor in the Big Apple. He began with illegal aliens from Mexico, Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, and China, using glib lies and illegal executive orders, and unchallenged by the complicit mainstream press, he is making his own people stand down. He's making the local police stand down. He's making the Border Patrol stand down. There were illegal Mexicans living in a refrigerator box on a hillside in Riverside County, California. The Immigration and Naturalization Service was summoned and took no action. "It's a domicile," the agent told a concerned citizen who called, since it was a route frequented by drug mules. "We no longer have the right to enter." It doesn't matter which way the psychopaths operate, conquering or allowing conquest. It's still psychopathic behavior. You won't read it in the morning newspaper along with a picture of some slut from Hollywood slipping on a banana peel on Sunset Boulevard. It's important, but it's not sensational. Do you understand the difference? Tyrants depend on our compliance along with our short memories and even shorter attention spans. Hitler was a certifiable psychopath. Everybody knows that. He used force, violence, and fear to expand his nation. He invaded other countries. He exterminated entire populations. What does Merkel do? What is Obama doing? He invades his own country with a de facto army from other nations, foreigners who are not even citizens, who have no visas or legal right to be here. He wipes away the laws of his own land. He permits illegal aliens to vote. If that's not psychopathic behavior, tell me what is. In July 2016, an Afghan refugee affiliated with ISIS attacked train passengers in Germany with an axe. Police shot him dead. That's just the beginning. Why are these leaders behaving this way? We'll get to that in a moment. I got an email from someone who's far smarter than I am. It's not easy for me to say that because I believe in myself. But I do know a few people who are smarter than me, particularly one who has a remarkable capacity to extrapolate, to look ahead. "It's over," he said to me. "What Merkel is doing to Germany, what the weaklings are doing to England, what the socialist is doing to France, what Obama, the psychopath, is doing to America, all of this will render those countries non-existent in less than 50 years. I replied, Maybe you're right. Maybe you're wrong. Here's a phrase for you. Blunted optimism. That's what I felt then, and I feel it even more now. The inescapable fact of the matter is that the world is changing in ways we could never imagine. Does anybody else on Earth see this the way I do? Maybe, maybe not. But I will continue to try to awaken you. I have been sounding the clarion call for years. The problem is, it's very late in the cycle. We may have already lost the battle. Do you understand that? Let me repeat. We may have lost the battle. All you can do now is prepare for the tsunami of foreigners, of illegal aliens, of those opposed to Christianity and Judaism that the psychopaths are allowing, no, encouraging, to rush across the borders as quickly as they can. If there is any hope at all, it's that a popular uprising can at least slow down the damage. When the United Kingdom voted to exit the European Union, the British people taught us what can happen when people who love their country stand up against waves of immigrants. And though I'm not a fan of the British bureaucracy, the one that banned me, not terrorists, from ever entering their nation, the people deserve my support, our support. So, returning to the question I posed above, why are world leaders behaving that way from Barack Hussein Obama to the ballet dancer running Canada to every Western leader not named Putin or Castro or Mexico's president Enrique Peña Nieto, who gives us the people he doesn't want? The answer is frighteningly simple. Two of the hallmarks of the psychotic are egotism and the need to destroy. It is the goal of these dictators to make certain that traditional Americans and Germans and Englishmen in general, and the white male in particular, no longer have a voice in their own nation. They are the enemy, and they are within. It is our job to stop them. The most dangerous subversive organizations in the United States. Corruption runs deep in the U.S. government, and it will remain there even if Donald Trump wins the presidency. Why? Because the people Obama has put into place are going to still be there. Let's say Trump wins, and let's say he follows through on 80% of what he promises. Take a look at the people Obama has planted in high positions. You can't get them out except by executive decree. I'll give you one example of a guy we can get rid of, a former Assistant Attorney General for the Civil Rights Division of the U.S. Department of Justice, a man named Thomas Perez, one of the most fanatical leftists in the history of the world. He was put in there by Barry Obama as a virtual poison pill. Nearly everything is a civil rights violation to this agitator, so he has put in laws and restrictions to make businesses almost inoperable. He'd still be in there destroying the middle class if Barry hadn't made him Secretary of Labor. So Barry did Trump's work for him, because when Barry is out of power, Perez will be out of power too. But that's only one person. And there are many other hateful parasites like him infesting the body politic. Want another? Take the former head of the National Council of La Raza, a woman by the name of Cecilia Munoz, one of the most radical individuals in American political history, who is now sitting inside the Oval Office as a special advisor to Barry. She was moved in there from her post as the White House Director of Intergovernmental Affairs. She did such a good job undermining America that Barry rewarded her by bringing her into the Oval Office itself. This is how far the boll weevils have gone. This is how far this government has been penetrated. Fortunately, come January 20, she too will be gone. How are we going to get rid of the countless other bureaucrats like those two vermin who are now running the federal government even if Trump wins? You want another one? someone whose influence is not so easily gotten rid of? Jimmy Carter, our former failed president, who has been a lifetime subversive. He's an all-around scorpion of an individual who spent millions of dollars on public relations in order to make us think he's a kindly, grandfatherly guy. I don't see him as that. When Hugo Chavez, the dictator, was running Venezuela, it was Jimmy Carter who went there to certify his election and stamp it as legitimate when we all knew it was a rigged election. Have the folks at the Carter Center done and are they doing any further damage here to the American way? Well, Jimmy Carter is a lifelong Israel hater. That we know. That's his stock in trade. He's gotten very far with that. I guess it would be a legitimate question to see what money he's getting from a named terrorist group if, in fact, that turns out to be the case. Is he receiving money from Hamas or Hezbollah through a third party? We can't, not without changing the system, which I hope a President Trump will do. You can bet a President Hillary will not. I could go a step further. Take some leftist organizations that have incredible influence and have pulled our country toward extreme liberal socialism. The American Civil Liberties Union is one group. The Council on American Islamic Relations is another. The Southern Poverty Law Center is another such group. There are others among the 10 most dangerous leftist extra-governmental organizations that need to be taken down when Donald Trump becomes president. 10 treasonous organizations that continue to damage the American way. 10 anti-American organizations that need to be exposed. Their leadership called before Congress, their funding traced to all sources. We need to examine all of them. Break them up like the old festering monopolies they are. Break up these leftist organizations to save America. The number one public enemy, the head of the serpent, is the ACLU. It must be broken apart. Now, if I say that the way to do it is to start with a HUAC, House Un-American Activities Committee investigation, I know what's going to happen. The left will go insane. They'll say, you're violating our civil rights. They'll say, you do not have probable cause to bring people in to investigate them. They may be right, but we need to do exactly that for our survival. Tell me how a society that is open like ours, that is democratic like ours, can survive when enemies of freedom, enemies of democracy, are destroying society by using the very freedoms that we have in place because of the Constitution. What would you do? This is the conundrum we are facing. These are probably the most important questions of our time. How can civil liberties be protected? And should civil liberties be put above survival? Because with all due respect to Benjamin Franklin, who said that liberty must be placed higher than security, without survival, what good are civil liberties? That's the problem. This crusade is going to lead us down roads we may not be comfortable going down, but we must go there. How can the ACLU, the Southern Poverty Law Center, CAIR, and all the damage they're doing to this country be stopped? These groups must be investigated by the new Congress come 2017. Investigated for subversive activities that undermine the Constitution and the American way. I know these are very loaded statements that are sure to rattle the nerves of everyone right left and center, including libertarians. But I'm going to talk about them, because as far as I'm concerned, just getting a new president will be a start, but only a start. If it's the right president, there's some hope. Do you doubt that? Look at what one man has done to this country in only 7 years. One man can make a huge difference, especially when he's as anti-American as Obama. One man or one patriot can make a huge difference, but he's going to need our help. We're going to have to advise the next president, who, let me say again, I hope will be Donald Trump. I hope it's Trump in a landslide. When Trump wins, we're going to have our work cut out for us. We're going to have to name those and other organizations we want to have investigated. Look no further than the organizations that have received direct funding and assistance from the mastermind of world disorder, the money changer George Soros and his so-called Open Society Foundations. Here they are. Advancement Project, All of Us or None, Alliance for Justice, America Coming Together, America Votes, America's Voice, American Bar Association Commission on Immigration, American Bridge 21st Century, ACLU, American Constitution Society for Law and Policy, American Family Voices. I can name many more of them, but they're all the same wolf in different sheepskins. Let's bring them into the light and expose them, make them scatter like cockroaches when you turn on the light. The request I'm making is this. Name subversive organizations, or organizations you consider to be so far off the ideal of the American way that they are in fact subversive, meaning that they spend all of their resources going against the wishes of the taxpayer. That broadens it quite a bit, doesn't it? Name those, read about them, and get vocal about them. Get angry about them. How will you know them? If being subversive means going against the wishes of the taxpayers, what do the taxpayers want? Does the average taxpayer want more immigrants or fewer immigrants? You know the answer. Most want no immigrants. You have groups that are working around the clock to bring in floods upon floods of immigrants, a virtual tsunami, an indigestible amount or number of refugees, immigrants, whatever you want to call them, especially from third world nations that hate us. These low, unscrupulous organizations are bringing in people who will never, ever integrate into the society, who will spend their every waking minute hating the society, many of whom will go off like rockets. Those groups would be at the top of my list. As I've said many times for many years, at the top of my list is the ACLU. Of course, its officers will argue, we're not subversive, we're not anti-American, we just believe in immigration. Sure it does. As long as it allows foreigners to sidestep borders, language, and culture with impunity. I'd like it to answer some of my questions. For example, where do you get your funding from? How much of your funding comes from foreign governments? How much has the Mexican government contributed through front groups? There are other organizations. If you want to call them subversive, that's a loaded term, but it's fine, because some are outright subversive. The rogue financier Soros spends all of his money on subversive elements in this country. How else would you explain a man who funds organizations that work to flood the United States with Muslim men of military age from Syria and call anyone who opposes them racist? Would you say that's healthy for the nation? Tell that to the women who were raped and robbed in Germany on New Year's Eve 2016. Or flood the United States with Central Americans infected with tuberculosis, Zika, and measles, to name only a few of the newly resurgent diseases they are bringing with them. Which organizations do you think are dangerous for the survival of America? Who has done the most damage to the American way? Which organizations need to be investigated by the new government in 2017? These are important questions that need to be asked right now. We need to plan ahead, and we need to get them in our sights. We need to start collecting dossiers on the individuals who run them. We need to start getting their names and the names of their organizations and get them into the hands of Donald Trump's campaign managers as soon as possible, so when he is elected, And when he is inaugurated, on day one, he can go after these subversive organizations in order to stop the downward spiral of the United States of America. That's my speech. That's what I truly believe from the bottom of my heart. But we could say all the things we want from today until kingdom come. It's not going to make one bit of difference. Lawyers have twisted the laws so that you can't even defend yourself against them. That's another thing that needs to be looked at. The American Bar Association itself is a subversive organization. Look at what it has done, who it protects, and who it prosecutes, often pro bono, at no charge. Will anything come of this? I don't know. I have no idea where it can go. I don't know if Donald Trump is going to win. Those of you who read this book after the election already know the answer to that. All I do know now is that none of the other candidates is capable of going after these organizations. That, my friends, is why Trump is so hated by the far left and why the media keeps smearing him. They know the people around Trump will go after them for what they have done to this country. They know their funding will be cut off, and worse yet, that some of them may actually be indicted for crimes against laws on the books right now. The Washington Times disclosed that George Soros gave Black Lives Matter more than $30 million. He's one of the chief funders of this organization, which does everything it can to disrupt and undermine American society under the guise that all black people are victims. Its false narrative has led to the killing of police and the inability of police to do their jobs to protect us from the stalking wolves. I don't know if you can declare Planned Parenthood to be a subversive group. I would say it's an evil group. Any group that basically is in the business of selling baby body parts is a very evil group. I think this threat could be handled very easily with a new Congress by having the organization's funding cut off completely. I don't even think you have to investigate Planned Parenthood. You can just cut it off at the funding level and it'll be out of business before long. I wouldn't even waste any money investigating it. I would just defund it. And that will be the end of it. That's like defanging a snake. I'm the architect of the new America. I'm a leader in thinking. You know that. When Trump wins in a landslide and the new government takes power in 2017, we're going to be faced with a huge problem, which is all of the boll weevils that Obama has planted like poison pills throughout the federal government. Then, of course, we have the organizations that we know are subversive. I've named some of them. Which organizations do you think need to be investigated by congressional committees when the new Congress convenes and taken down, taken apart, and defunded? More than that, if there is evidence of criminal activity along the way, punish them for what they have done, are doing, and would do further to damage this nation. There are many organizations whose every waking moment is about disrupting the social order and attacking white people. You know what I'm talking about. Don't pretend it's not going on, and don't pretend Obama's not funding most of them. He specializes in this. He is their bread and butter. He is diverting billions of dollars to them in order to continue to attack us. The National Lawyers Guild is one of the most dangerous activist groups in the country. Every one of its members is an enemy of the American way. Every last shyster in the National Lawyers Guild is the type of lawyer that you have come to hate, in plain English. Now, they will tell you they're just for the underdog. They're for the poor immigrant. Well, you know what? That may be so, but I'm for the middle class. I want a lawyers guild for the tax-paying middle class, not a lawyers guild for the subversives who are bringing in refugees, immigrants, whatever you want to call them, by the tens of millions. If you want to know what this country will look like in 10 years if this is not stopped, all you've got to do is look south of the border. Then, all you've got to do is look at Fallujah. Then, all you've got to do is look at Somalia, and you'll have some picture of what districts or whole regions of inner cities will look like in this country, unless the subversive groups are exposed and stopped. Then there's Catholic Charities USA. Most people will ask, how can you attack a church? You know the answer to that. Catholic Charities USA is not a church. It uses the word Catholic in its name, but it has as much to do with Catholicism as the moon does. Catholic Charities USA is a nonprofit organization that uses the handle of Catholicism to subvert U.S. immigration laws. It has, it does, and it will continue to flood the United States with illegal aliens. All of these groups use the same scheme. These entities with church-related names are 501c3 organizations that need to be investigated and stopped, along with others that we're talking about. Now, what do I mean by harm to the country? There's an interesting question. People will say, well, they're just liberals. They're pushing the liberal philosophy. You're a conservative. You like conservative ideas. Okay, that would be a fair statement. But when you are using your organization to go against the will of the people and to go against the voters themselves, to go against honored national traditions, which these organizations do, then they are, my friends, subversive in the sense that they are subverting the will of the majority of the American people. You cannot disagree with my logic. It is sound. It doesn't matter whether you agree with Catholic Charities USA or the ACLU or the American Bar Association or the National Lawyers Guild. What matters is that what they are doing goes against the wishes of the majority of voters in this country. That's why they have to be investigated and defunded, and if any criminal acts are found to have been conducted, prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Which brings me back to where I started. The emerging totalitarian Soviet states of America is the result of Barack Obama and the leftist fanatics in the administration, like that Iranian-born senior advisor, Valery Jarrett. Whoever wins the election at least will be rid of that poisonous voice of discontent. You'll have to look at the subversives in the American left and what they have done, what they would like to do to this country. In the political sphere right now, the clearest exemplar of the radical left is Barack Obama. He's gotten much further than anyone could ever have imagined he would have in such a short period of time. That's because he's such a silk-smooth salesman for the American left. But like any salesman, we have to look at what he's selling and at his unscrupulous sales tactics. And not just him. Bernie Sanders, who ran for the Democrat presidential nomination with the vigor of Trotsky fleeing the Bolsheviks, is an exact picture, a literal stereotype of the American left, going back, I would say, to the ILGWU era. That's the International Ladies Garment Workers Union. Bernie is a classic low-grade garment workers union community agitator. You want to look at the American left? You look into the civil rights movement, the war on poverty, the new left of each era, the leaders of which have now become great conservatives in their own mind. You'll see there's a Communist Party USA. Its members have disguised themselves now. They're running purely as Democrats. There was the Socialist Labor Party. There were overt Marxist-Leninist groups such as the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, the Progressive Labor Party, the Revolutionary Communist Party, the Workers' World Party. None of them really exists in those forms anymore because they've been morphed into Barack Obama's administration. Back then, you had Trotskyites who ran things such as the Freedom Socialist Party, Socialist Action, the Socialist Workers' Party, Solidarity, the Spartacus League, the Workers' International League. They're all small splinter groups right now because most of the leaders have been absorbed into the current Democrat Party. Then look at the anarchist and anarcho-syndicalist parties in the United States, such as the Green Party. Most of them have become very, very small because the leadership has been given jobs by MSNBC and other media outlets. Let's look into this in a little more detail for 2017, because we're going to have a lot of work on our hands to uncouple them from the social and political spheres of influence. Their insidious work began long before the 1960s. We had what we would call socialism in the United States, a socialist type of movement. European socialism was imported into the United States by a Christian sect called the Labadists. In 1683, they set themselves up in a commune west of Philadelphia called Bohemia Manor. Their socialism was religion-based, unlike the secular communism of Karl Marx. The Labadists followed the communal practices of the apostles and early Christians. It wasn't until 1848 that secular socialists hit the shores of America. They were German Marxist immigrants who were fleeing Europe following the 1848 revolutions that swept the continent. Many came to America because our Constitution tolerated their radical ideas. Does that sound familiar? Now I want to move forward into our century and bring us up to our time so we understand how deeply we have been penetrated by the leftists of the world and what they have done to this country. Many of you feel it. You sense it. But you don't know where it's coming from. Let's go into the 1960s, the civil rights movement, the war on poverty, and the new left. You'll find out exactly what they are and what they have done, and exactly what they want to do in the future of the United States of America. Where shall we begin? Some of these names may be familiar to you, such as Students for a Democratic Society and Tom Hayden. It had activists such as Hayden, who was married to Jane Fonda, as you may remember. Then there were groups such as Marxists, Leninists, and the Progressive Labor Party. In the late 1960s, there emerged the Black Power and the hippie movements. That's possibly where we should begin, because the Black Power movement of today, as exemplified by the Black Lives Matter street thugs, is an offshoot of the early socialist, communist, anarchist movements. If you don't understand history, you're condemned to repeat it. That's what we're living through right now. What about the hippie movement? Well, I think that speaks for itself. Many ex-hippies are now running the media, running the government, and running academia. Doesn't that tell you all you need to know? Look into that, and you'll see the bridge among anarchism, socialism, Marxism, and progressivism. Bernie Sanders calls himself an independent socialist who was running as a Democrat. He's never really been a democratic socialist. He has always been a radical fanatic. Always. There are others like him in the government and still others in organizations such as Occupy Wall Street and the rest of the bogus, anarchistic Occupy movement, which are all offshoots of this radical leftism I am talking about. Okay. So Occupy has fizzled for now. Why am I concerned about this? Because I'm thinking ahead. I'm thinking ahead to when Donald Trump wins in the election come November. Now, some of you may have seen polls saying that Trump has an uphill climb. During the summer, a leftist pollster named Nate Silver, whom I call Nate Sliver or Nate Slither, the darling number cruncher of the left, said that Hillary Clinton had an 80% chance of winning the election. I laughed when I saw that. Do you know why? Because the bookies in England were giving 80-20 odds on the United Kingdom staying in the European Union. We all know how that turned out, and we all know why. It's the same reason why Trump is going to win here. He is already the overwhelming favorite of that key voting bloc, the independents. When, God willing, he takes office in January 2017, that's when his work will actually begin, because none of the organizations I mentioned will be gone. In fact, I can guarantee you that their nests are being feathered by the Obama administration as quickly as possible to make certain that they are untouchable, as the five families of organized crime once were in the United States of America. These left-wing groups are far more damaging than any organized criminal organization the nation has ever seen, in terms of their damage to the social order. That is a definitive blanket statement that I can support with pages upon pages of references. Media Matters for America is funded primarily by Soros. It was run in cahoots with John Podesta, Obama's lawyer, who founded the Center for American Progress, a liberal think tank in Washington, D.C. Media Matters was closely tied to Hillary Clinton during the period that I was banned in Great Britain, and its fingerprints are all over the smear campaign against me and many others in the conservative movement in the United States. They should be at the top of the list. They're among the evilest anti-Americans in the United States today. These leftist groups are like a cult, and they feed off one another. I imagine its members sit around smoking pot and drinking wine, and then they start talking to one another with a joke about how they can get over on society, what they can do to disrupt the vote, what they can do to stuff ballot boxes, what they can do to vote 10 times, what they can do to have illegal aliens vote, and then they start feeding off one another. One builds upon the other, because no one's ever slapped them down. No one has ever come along and slapped them down for the damage they are doing to this nation. Some of you may think I've missed the most important of these left-wing organizations. How could we forget that friendly guy, Al Sharpton? The name of his group is NAN, National Action Network, and its slogan is No Justice, No Peace. How many times has this fine human being, Al Sharpton, been invited into the White House by our even finer president? 40? 50? Something like that. Has the White House released the visitor records yet? What damage has this organization done to America? It was reported that Al Sharpton, a street agitator, pushed for Loretta Lynch to become our attorney general. This is how deep these people go in their damage to the social order of this country. Unless they are turned back in 2017, there is no hope for this nation. So I'm looking ahead, and I'm telling you what needs to be done. As a man who has been blacklisted by both the British government and Fox News, I know something about blacklists. That's something the American left has not experienced in 50 years, being on a blacklist. There are groups that need to be investigated for the damage they have done, are doing, and will do unless they are stopped by a new Congress in 2017. Let's name some of the organizations that I consider to be very, very left-wing and worthy of investigation. Alliance for Democracy, Amnesty International, Black Lives Matter, Center for American Progress, Center for Media and Democracy, Center for Science and the Public Interest, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, Citizen Action, Citizens Fund, ColorOfChange.org, Common Assets Defense Fund, Cordoba Initiative, Media Matters for America, MoveOn.org, ProPublica, funded by Soros, Netroots Nation, Tide Center, Tide Center Projects, Tides Foundation, Transnational Resource and Action Center, Turning Point Project, Youth Empowerment Center. Those are just some. You might also include the Service Employees International Union, SEIU, as a subversive organization. But maybe not. The president of that organization, that big union that gave us California Governor Jerry Brown, said she was shocked that 64% of her membership is interested in voting for Donald Trump. Don't assume that the organizations they control are composed of members who also want to undo the American way. How about when we look into the American religious left and its funders? This gets very interesting. It's like a spider web. Rockefeller Brothers Fund, Lilly Endowment, the Bain Foundation, Ford Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, Blue Moon Fund, Joyce Foundation, HKH Foundation, Dolan Charitable Trust, Vanguard Foundation, Archer Foundation, Saul Alinsky's Back of the Yards Community Council, National Hip Hop Political Convention, Cuban Council of Churches, Pastors for Peace, Progressive Religious Partnership, People for the American Way, Interfaith Alliance, Interfaith Worker Justice, American Friends Service Committee, Clergy Leadership Network, America Coming Together, National Council of Churches, Interfaith Center on Corporate Responsibility. There we have a little sketch of the radical American left to explain how we got where we are and who the head of the snake is. The head of the snake is enjoying himself in the White House. They are all the grassroots groups that have worked for many years to give us what we now have, which is a debased military and a debased America. And the best is yet to come, according to the leader of the free world, Barack Obama, who said in his January 14, 2016 State of the Union address that he would squeeze the last drop out of the year to make all the changes he possibly can. I think you get the drift. The question is, as I've said, can we the people speak out against it loud enough and soon enough? The fate of America lies in your answer. Hollywood fought fascism. Now it must fight Islamofascism. I told you earlier that Muslims are invading Europe. They're invading here, too. The Obama administration has created an open-door policy for our enemies. Remember how in 2015 an ISIS jihadi attacked a reserve center in Chattanooga, Tennessee, killing four Marines? Since then, there have been numerous attacks on these shores and dozens that were caught before they became operational. Many of them were ignored by the mainstream press, such as the FBI agent who was attacked by a knife-wielding jihadi in New York, or the 30 Muslims who were caught before they could launch a terror attack on July 4th. But I want to talk about Europe first, since it is being drowned by immigrants as well as the rapidly increasing Muslim populations of segregated, secretive communities. It's the first step of a calculated plan to annex the West, convert it to Sharia law, put women into burqas, mutilate young girls, take over the military, force everyone to bow to Mecca, and make Christians pay a tax for being Christian. God knows what they plan to do to the Jews. We have already seen what happens to those who dare to mock Muhammad in France, in Denmark, and in the United States. And we know what could happen to those of us who are trying to warn you. Ever wonder why there are so many young men coming west, but so few women or children? It's because of Hijra, which Muslims describe as jihad through migration. Who are the traveling jihadists? They're not all from Syria. Many of them are from Bosnia. Some of them are from other nations. It really doesn't matter where they're coming from. What matters is where they're going. Germany, for example. How did it happen that a nation with a strong conservative bent was suddenly overrun in the opposite direction? Well, you can thank those within its government who are liberalizing its immigration policies and, in the process, are destroying it. Who is Angela Merkel, Germany's chancellor? What do the traveling jihadists have on her? How did Merkel become a dictator with the power to destroy her own country? For that matter, who gave Obama the power to be God Almighty? As I explained, we know what is empowering these evil people, their arrogance and a narcissistic need to tear down anything they didn't build. But who is empowering them? I will use that word until the world hears me. Evil. Evil exists. Evil is a leader that does not respect the wishes of the people, other than a small, loud, self-delusional population of like-minded psychotics. the rest of us have a right to our own national identity. We the people have a right to secure our borders, just as we have a right to secure the doors and windows of our houses. Inherent in our Constitution, in the Bill of Rights, is our right to resist illegal search and seizure. The government has no right to break into your car without a warrant, to break into your house without a warrant. You're protected there. So what gives Mexicans the right to break into your country? Who gives Muslims the right to break into Germany, which has similar protections in place? Criminals do. Evil political criminals. Merkel may as well have a black burglar's mask over her face and a tire iron in her hands as she breaks the windows of Germany and pries the doors off their hinges. Don't confuse the issue, as liberals do, by talking about the Holocaust and applying it to these so-called refugees. Stop with the false humanitarianism about how you stand up for something. The truth is, liberals hate those of us who want to preserve our borders, language, and culture, but they don't hate the real enemies. Hate them. Don't hate us. We're actually your best friends. We are the only ones who are warning America and Europe what these burglars called leaders are doing to their own nation. Hate those who have the power to fight Hijra and don't use it. For the rest of us, the question remains how to stop them. Here's one suggestion. The entertainment community is brilliant, powerful, and pervasive. In another time, when this nation was threatened by fascism, it used all of its powers to ridicule the enemy. Today, this very same entertainment complex ridicules not the enemy, but the American people. It ridicules Christians, religious Jews, Republicans, gun owners, police, and those who care about the unborn. If the same entertainment complex were to ridicule ISIS and radical Islam, we would have a great ally in this battle of battles, this battle for the survival of civilization as we know it. That is what is missing in the battle against radical Islam. The entertainment industry that once fought Hitler, Tojo, and Mussolini, that helped boost morale and focus energy on winning World War II, that rallied Americans around a noble cause, is now a propaganda tool of the left. During World War II, in cartoons, the Germans were drawn in a certain harsh way to make them look ugly. The Japanese were pictured with buck teeth to make them repellent. Through today's eyes, it's repugnant, but through the eyes of people fighting fascists, it was war, and all was fair. Today, if you draw the prophet, you and everyone who works with you is shot. And the leaders imply, well, they brought it on themselves. They shouldn't have done that. The enemy creates ugly pictures of Jews. Have you seen the images of Jews painted by Arabs in the Palestinian territories? Or have they not made it to your local newspaper? Have you seen the propaganda against Americans being promulgated around the world? The enemy is painting you as oafs and idiots, drug addicts, sex addicts, and it is undermining the core of this country. We need to encourage the synagogue jesters, Jewish leaders in Hollywood who have ceded the moral high ground they previously held, and others in the entertainment industry to cease putting out propaganda before it's too late. By that, I mean stopping the propaganda against Christians, stopping the propaganda against the family, and stopping the propaganda against the military and police. Jesters, stop the damn propaganda you're pumping out against everything decent in this nation. Those who sow the wind shall reap the whirlwind. I warn all of you, your day will come. The people know who you are. If you think you can escape forever, you are wrong. This country is melting down rapidly, and no one knows what will come tomorrow. The people are ready to blow like a pressurized well and spew black oil revulsion at cultural sickness across the plains. The people can't take another day of the filth put out by Hollywood and New York. They can't take another minute of Saturday Night Live mocking everything decent and supporting everything evil. They can't take it anymore. Their guts are in turmoil. They are ready to vomit out this filth. I have spent 22 years trying to warn you about these days that we're living in now. 22 years. God has brought me to this place, to this day, for this message. Go ahead and mock it if you want, but you know in your hearts that I'm telling you the truth. You know what's coming. Hijra. How to identify pseudo-conservative bullies. I remember when I first heard the word conservative floating around in this country. It was during the Nixon years. I was in my 30s. People were saying, "I'm a conservative," and I automatically hated them. Why? Because what came out of their mouths defined them to me as rigid, moronic people who wanted to bully me and tell me how to live. Once again, I was a prophet, like the ancient mariner, but without the dead albatross. Whether you like it or not, that is how most people in this country see conservatives today. They see conservatives as bullies who push crosses in other people's faces and tell them who to sleep with, who not to sleep with, tell others they're morally superior. That perception of what are now called staunch conservatives is drilled into young minds by liberals in the school system, in movies, and on television. Just think about how conservatives are portrayed in those media. They are maliciously depicted as not cool, not good-looking, scowling malcontents who frown on everyone else and try to tell people how things should be. Contrast that with how gays, to name just one group, are heroically depicted. You've seen political ads in which conservatives are portrayed as literally wanting to kill your relatives. Do you remember that ad in which a grandma in a wheelchair was pushed off a cliff? How about the one in which a man said Mitt Romney was responsible for his wife dying? That is how liberals portray conservatives in every conceivable space, and it works. Unfortunately, this cartoonish perception is the one most people have when they hear the word conservative. They have help, unfortunately, from the adenoidal minions on the right who will tell you that Donald Trump is not a conservative. What god of conservatism gave those Judases the mantle and the crown to make such pronouncements? Who gave anyone the right to say, "Only I am a conservative, and anyone who doesn't follow my way is not a true conservative"? Do they even know what conservative means? The backlash against this sort of bullying is why Trump is going to win. It's going to help almost as much as the bullying of the left and the vile, thuggish policies of Obama. Trump is not that kind of bully. He may be arrogant. You don't build a